Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Dissecting Liberty podcast. Today, I'm joined, as always, with my co-host, Liberty Zero. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic, minus some internet problems that we were discussing earlier, but I'm doing as good as I can be with very little internet. So today we have a very special guest, Buck from the Death to Tyrants podcast. Almost said Death to Pirates podcast.
I feel like that right now.
How you doing, Buck?
I'm doing well. I'm a Raiders fan, so I feel like saying Death to Pirates right now. But other than that, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
That's awesome, man. So I met you in Lake Jackson at the Ron Paul event. Mm-hmm. Stratton, who is a regular guest on our show, is a mutual friend of ours. And that was a great little party. I met a lot of really great contacts there, had a lot of great conversations. And I was telling Stratton that night, I love going to things like that because I love, like, that was the first time I ever saw Ron Paul.
Oh.
And I've seen Tom Woods before, and I know Jeff Deist and all this sort of stuff. But my favorite thing about events like that is always the after party.
Mm-hmm.
It's always getting to meet these people, and I mean, that's always the special part, because that's the connections you make and the lifelong friendships. That's how I met Stratton.
Oh,
you know, at Mises U.
Oh, okay.
Like, we sort of knew each other online,
yeah.
And then we met up at Mises U with him and his other co-hosts,
mm-hmm.
And like, man, just lifelong friends now. Just it's really special. So before we get into the topic, why don't you go ahead and tell our audience a bit about yourself and your podcast?
Sure. I'm Buck Johnson. I host the Death to Tyrants podcast for a few more weeks, and then there's going to be a little bit of a rebranding, and anyone who follows me from here on out will get all of the details on that. But I've been doing it for a couple of years. I'm a firefighter as well. I'm a lieutenant in a fire department. I can't say which one because, we have, I would say, not politically correct ideas in our world. And when you worked for an industry or a company, as it were, that is politically correct, I don't want to cross those paths.
Yeah.
And, I've been doing that for 22 years. I am a musician as well, and I've been playing drums in and around Austin and, I guess, around the world for a long time as well. I would say, paleo-libertarian, right-wing libertarian. I guess that's about all I can think of off the top of my head in this introduction-type manner. But the podcast has been going quite well, and a few changes are coming, and I think it's for the better.
Hell yeah.
I just dropped that on you. You didn't know that, huh?
No, we talked about it.
Okay. Don't give
Mike Jackson.
Don't give away any secrets.
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. So we talked about, for a topic today, to talk about how to maximize our freedom. And I think that that's a very good conversation to have, especially right now with how the election's going. So let me ask you, first of all, do you think that come January, Biden's going to be the president? And if so, what do you think the best path towards freedom under that situation would be?
That is a good question. I've been talking about that all day with friends. That's so tough. If I had to bet money, I wouldn't. But if I had to, yes, I suppose Biden will be installed as president in January. But man, I just don't know. I get sucked into these QAnon threads, and they toy with your emotions, is what they do, because they put forth these scenarios and what you think, boy, that would be crazy. And you kind of, I think people in our world might cheer for some of these things that just freak. Are we allowed to curse on here?
No, yeah, absolutely. Okay.
I mean, my left-leaning friends would freak the fuck out if somehow Donald Trump got through this craziness and became president once again. And I think I would love it. Just for the reactions of these people. For one, it would help his whole movement has helped. Well, I don't know if it's intentional or not. Red pill some people along the way, and a lot of them are on the right, like my parents. But it would help red pill some people on the left because they would go, "Where did this come from? The media I watch has not said one word about any of this. Where are these challenges coming from? What's Dominion voting? What is, hammer and scorecard voting? What is this stuff? I never heard of it." And I would be like, "You weren't in the deep, dark corners of Twitter. Where have you been?" You know? So, boy, it's a fun scenario to think about. But I suppose if I had to bet money, I think Biden will win. And then I'm an optimist by nature, and so I see some silver linings there too. I think the Trump moment has helped red pill, not just boomers and people on the right. I think libertarians as well, even myself in some ways since 2016, little things that have happened. Again, I don't know if he's done any of it on purpose or he's just kind of who he is and things happen, but I've been red pilled along the way as well. So that everyone knows it's not 2008 when someone that's slick talking, that's a Democrat that controls the cathedral, if you will, and can kind of lure and hoard over half the country and start wars and do all of these things that, you know, as libertarians, we were going, wait, what are you doing? Ron Paul warned us against this. Now, I think a large percentage of the country will be fighting every step of the way, much more so than the last time a Democrat was in power in 2008 and then the following election after that, because of this, the last 4 years and then even 2020 itself, the lockdown stuff. It's like you can lock someone down in March when everyone's going, "What is this COVID thing? We're not sure." You know, a lot of people were like, "I'm not sure about this." Now so many people like myself have had it. And it's like, yeah, that was nothing. And so you can't tell a whole country to lock down. That's done. That moment's done. There should be no more gun control debate. That moment's done. So, and also you're not going to have a bunch of right wingers going, "I want to defend my country. I'll go to war. Yes, sir. What do you say?" That's not happening anymore either. So it's going to be, Biden is used to politics as they were over 10 years ago. And so he's entering a time, if he makes it, we'll see, they're already pushing him out the door with the stuff about his son, which magically CNN wants to report on after the election. So we'll see if he makes it. Kamala isn't smart. And so I don't know if that's better or worse than Hillary Clinton, because I do think Hillary was smart and conniving and knew what was going on. I don't think Kamala is. And so what worries me about her is that she's going to be like George Bush, where the people that want to control everything control her. So we shall see. As for liberty and the prospects of it under a Biden and or Kamala Harris presidency, like I said, I'm an optimist. So I think enough people are red-pilled, and it will continue to get more so. Like, for instance, my dad said the other day when the Supreme Court pushed back the Texas lawsuit, my dad texted me, and he goes, "They deny the lawsuit, President Harris it is," because he's already seeing this stuff about Hunter Biden. He's like, "Huh, wow, here they go with the move to push Joe Biden out." So it's no longer like, what's going on? Whatever they say must be realistic. There's a lot of people that see right through it all, and I think that's the silver lining, I would say.
Yeah, and one thing that I thought about, like, when Joe Biden became president-elect was that he's going to remind all these conservatives and right wingers that they actually do hate the federal government.
Yes. Yep. Because there's been this funny thing where people like us laugh seeing the left calling themselves the resistance. And it's like, what do you, you don't resist anything except one person. And we're all like, we resist all of this stuff. So maybe it's better for, I think the natural resistance from the state is the Trumpers. And I'm only qualifying it that way because we're already there. So we're there no matter what. But when you have Trump in charge, the boomer cons are going to be like, well, let's just go with it. It's 4D chess. He knows what he's doing. As things get worse and worse, if it's Biden or Harris in charge, I think it's more likely that a larger segment of the country is going to say, no, we actually are resisting. We've got the universities, Hollywood, the federal government, the bureaucracies, all the way down to the city level are against us. So we really are a resistance. So I think that's also positive.
So now, like, that was pretty broad. So it was broad of a question. So what do you think, in the event of a Biden presidency or in the event of a Trump presidency, just sort of long term, either way, how do you think people can maximize their monetary freedom?
Oof. Geez, I am not super qualified to answer this, but I would say off the top of my head, not to sound like some kind of CPA or something, but diversify, certainly crypto stuff, gold, you know, not to fall back on what Ron Paul taught me, but the dollar only gets weaker. Throughout my lifetime, no one ever goes, man, the dollar is going to be strong at some point. In just a few years, it's going to be so strong again. No one says that, even blue-pilled people. but everyone does know gold, silver. I would say gold, silver, and ammo are the way to that those things are never going to diminish in value extensively. And the crypto stuff, I invest in some of that. I don't know quite enough. Some of it still confuses me. And then I start thinking, like, what if the internet goes down? Or when something's solely based in a virtual world, can that still be taken away from you somehow? And so I'm slightly hesitant with that. Although there could be someone listening going, no, you idiot, it's this and this. And again, I'm not super qualified on crypto, but I do invest in some of it. But gold and silver and ammo never gets old.
Yeah, like I've had that same worry about crypto, like what if the internet goes down? And at this point, I mean, you know, I'll a short tangent. You know, I have a family member that used to run a restaurant supply company. And by the time she was in like the latter tenth of owning that business, before she closed down, everything was online, all of it. And every employee did everything online. And on the rare occasion the power would go out or the internet would go out, you know, the business didn't shut down. It had to continue running, and her employees would freak out. Like, they did not know how to write a, you know, a paper invoice and so on. But eventually they figured it out. And I hate to think that if, let's say, the internet went down, I think at that point we're pretty screwed. Because, like, I see how these younger people would panic. And they're older than I was at the time and am now. But I would see how they would panic just writing a paper invoice. And I don't think the internet going down is that big of a threat, because if I think that's going to happen, then, you know, we're going to have a lot other stuff to worry about than, you know, how much Bitcoin we have or gold.
Yeah, then it's on.
I think that's when ammo kicks in.
Yeah, exactly. And but see, that's the thing. If it were to happen and you said, we might not have to worry about that, and we might not, but I have a conspiratorial mind. You know, I was in Austin, and I grew up listening to Alex Jones when he was still on public access here. So the second stuff starts going down, even now, like when my internet, it went down for 15 hours the other night, and it was locally, and I thought, this is it. This is it. And so just those little, you know, I knew in my mind overall, okay, it's fine. They're going to fix it. But I thought, okay, what if this was real and the government was shutting everything down and we could not communicate in that manner anymore? And I said, well, they can't take gold away, they can't take silver away, and they can't take ammo away without certainly a fight. So I don't know, maybe it sounds boomery, and it's certainly, like I said, I grew up listening to Alex Jones and watching all of his stuff, yeah. So I still get worried about that.
I think that the good thing about like that concern is that we see like the government is very incentivized to provide people with internet access. So you see like Amazon, you know, they're going to put up all these satellites. We're going to have Wi-Fi,
yeah.
You know, everywhere, or maybe not Wi-Fi, but, you know, signal,
yeah.
Everywhere.
5G. And,
yeah.
Yeah. 5G. Yeah.
That's a whole other story.
Right. But, like since the internet is their main like mode of like propagandizing people, like currently, I do think that like, that's going to be the last thing that goes down. And then at that point, you know, you are going to want like physical assets.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at that point, yeah, like Cotton said, we're all kind of screwed. So don't make crypto your whole thing.
Right.
But
right. Like I said, initially I know it sounds cliche, but diversify and just have different areas. You know, the banks can shut you out, especially. My worry now is that banks are going to shut you out if you don't have the vaccine.
Yeah.
Because while maybe the government won't enforce it, the government, we are finding out, doesn't have to enforce things nowadays. They're not enforcing masks, at least here, they're not. But the assholes in the fucking, excuse me, you know, I'm in a small town now, so it's not the same, but the assholes of fucking Austin, they'll scream at you. They'll do the government's work for free. So they enforce stuff. And so then I start worrying that these private companies with ties to the government, well, what if you don't have a vaccine? Can you travel? Can you go to a football event? Can you go to a concert? It's not the government doing that, but it, so yeah, I'm honestly at this point, I'm more worried about leftists running corporations than I am the state, even if Joe Biden's in charge.
No, that's for sure. And that's something I noticed not long after all these mask mandates came down, is I was looking for a grocery store to go to that I didn't have to wear a mask in.
Yep.
And then I realized, like, there are no grocery stores except HEB and Walmart in this area. You know, like, the only grocery stores, quote unquote, are, like, the ones that carry a few items to, like, get you through, you know, you're missing an ingredient, run to that store.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's, you know, these big corporations and they're going to go along.
Yeah. And they're pushing it. And I heard a friend of mine works for a bigger corporation, and he said, we have to wear masks now. And they said, it's just for optics. Admitting it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, it's all for optics. All of it is. But for the fact to like work and not get in trouble at work and knowingly just go, this is for optics. Crazy. It's crazy, man. You could, if you said in 2019, even the conspiratorial mind that I have, like, you might get fired from your job next year if you don't wear a mask. For what? For optics, you know, crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's scary.
So since we're talking about masks, what do you think? So we talked about monetary freedom. So what do you think about maximizing your physical freedom in a very, you know, base way?
Are you being specific to wearing a mask or not?
No. But masks are definitely in that.
What do you mean by physical freedom then, besides masks? Because I can go off on a tirade on masks, but what besides?
Okay, then let's do masks. And then we'll see how that translates to other things.
Just so the listeners know, real quick, we're on a video call, and Cotton's currently masked up. Just in a room.
Yeah,
alone.
That's right. That's right.
Yes. Man, I was watching a press conference, or I saw a press conference from a football coach on Twitter. And, you know, they do all of their press conferences now with a mask on Zoom, like we are right now. And it's like, dude, give me a fucking break. This is so for optics. And that's the worst part of it. And a friend of mine said, yeah, this guy said, look at this idiot in HEB. He's wearing a hazmat suit, basically. And he said, I told him, if this is as real and dangerous as everyone says, he's the only smart one. The idiots are the fucking one walking around with a sock over their face. Because if it's truly bad, give me the hazmat suit. Whatever they have in surgery, I'll take that. But it's not truly bad. You know why? You know how we know that? Not only because I've had it, because Gavin Newsom, the mayor of Austin, Nancy Pelosi, the mayor of Chicago, we can go on and on. Cuomo, they've all...
The governor of Louisiana.
He did it. He get caught.
My
too.
Governor.
They all get caught without a mask around a bunch of people. And so you know, they know it's not a fucking deadly pandemic that's going to kill you if you get next to someone. They know that. That's why they do that. It's, you know, we're into Austrian economics. That's an a priori truth because we can see them doing it. And therefore, we know they're not scared of dying. So I can go off and for hours on this stuff. And I see Gavin Newsom up in the French Laundry restaurant in Napa. And I like it when I see that video. People said, what a hypocrite. It's like, okay, well, they're all hypocrites. Did you not know that already? We understand that part of it. The good thing is we know that now we can go out without masks and we can gather with people. You know how we know that? Because he's in charge making these bullshit rules and he did it. So therefore, he knows you're not going to die. So get out and live your life and quit being scared of your neighbor looking at you and taking a picture and trying to turn it into somewhere. So physical freedom. At some point, you're going to have to be willing to have physical confrontations with people. And I mean, that's just what it is, in my opinion. That's one of the reasons why I work out all the time. I've always told my wife and friends, like, I don't have to be the toughest person in the room, but I want someone that sees me, I want them to think, I'd rather not fight him. So, you know, if I walk through HEB and someone says something, if I don't have a mask on, you know, I'll fucking throw down with them right there if you have an issue with it. And I think it's going to have to take a lot of people willing to push back, because that's all it is. It's people going along to get along, and then they think they want to be hall monitor because there's a generation of people that were raised like, you're so cool, you're so special, no one will hurt you. And when they find out someone will, well, maybe that's what they need.
Yeah.
It violates the nap. I realize that, but sorry.
Grow a beard.
There you go.
If you don't want confrontation, grow a beard.
Does that work?
It does. Like, I've never been confronted.
I've not yet either. Or just get full sleeves.
That works too.
And be bigger than, you know, 120.
I don't know. Some of those Walmart employees asking me to put on a mask are pretty big. Not muscles.
No,
they're pretty big.
Right, yeah. My wife told me the other day, it's funny because she has been overall, I would say, more anti-mask even than me. And she said, you know, my new rule is if I decide, you know, fuck it, I'll put one on. As I'm checking out, I take it off. And like, she's like, it's this game. I start to see how much further into the store I can be when I take it off and then just tell the people, oh, I'm leaving, you know?
Yeah. I did the same thing in a restaurant. Like we paid, we were about to leave. And before we stood up, I did not put on a mask as I got up.
Yeah.
And the person I was with was like, well, they told you to put on a mask. And I said, we're paid. You know, what are they going to do?
I'm leaving.
Kick us out?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I'm leaving. Fine. Fuck it. And it's funny because they know in their heart, unless there's some far left loon, they know it's just for optics. So a lot of the times, you're only going to face off with like fucking lefty whack jobs, and like Liberty Zero said, maybe grow a beard. I don't know, get some size. Those fuckers, they'd rather pick a fight with someone else, hopefully.
So what do you think about secession? You think it's going to happen?
Yes.
Think Texas is ready?
It's going to take a little time. The fact that, I mean, for all intents and purposes, we are the biggest state in the union. I realize there's Alaska. That doesn't really count. So it's us. The fact that the Republican chair from Texas put out a statement about maybe a few states. He didn't say should secede. He said should start another union. Same thing. The fact that that happened, yes. And there's a congressman, a representative from Fredericksburg, Texas. I don't know if you saw this. He put out a statement about secession. The fact that those people are doing it, it's amazing. It's so nice because it's becoming mainstream. And I believe Rush Limbaugh said something about it. And I know Ben, what's his name? The little neocon guy.
Shapiro.
I know he retweeted a story about it. And those people are not by any means like heroes of mine, but they're mainstream. And so it does no good other than an education purpose for us or the Mises Institute or any podcasters in our world to talk about secession other than to flourish some ideas about it. But when mainstream sources talk about it, that's huge. And, you know, I saw some pushback from the Republican chair here. Well, that's the Republican Party. When have they ever done anything special? And it's like, I don't know. But the fact that they're saying secession is something, just applaud, please, because that means they're on our side, at least for that. And so, are we still good to keep going?
Yeah, we can go.
Okay. And so, I think I made a bet with someone maybe 2 years ago that it will happen before 2024. We shall see. I'm not saying I'm going to lose the bet because after 2020, like I said, in 2019, if you said, hey, you got to wear a mask when you go to the store.
Yeah.
For what? Optics. For what are you talking about? I would have said no way. So again, when the Soviet Union collapsed, at some point, there's a timeline when something does happen, and it would have been hard to predict just a few years prior. Slavery ending, the wall in Germany. So, I think secession will happen. I would say in my lifetime, it will certainly happen. I don't know if Texas is ready per se, like my parents, my family. I don't know what they would say, to be honest with you. They're Trumpers. We'll see. It won't take much, I don't think, but I think the fact that it's a mainstream discussion is so awesome. And so we're pointed in the right direction. You asked about liberty under a Biden administration. That would be brilliant. Another thing I want to talk about, sorry to just keep ranting,
no,
but
go ahead.
These are the topics I love. There's an excuse, and again, I saw this state rep from Fredericksburg, Texas, posting about secession. And these people are saying, you can't under our constitution. And it's like, right, we're not under that constitution if we secede. So it's like, you know, if you divorce your wife and you start dating someone and she says, we've got marriage vows. Yeah, we did. We don't any longer. Mm-hmm. I left. And so the whole constitutional aspect, right, it's probably not in the Constitution that we can secede. It was in the Declaration of Independence. I realize you guys have forgotten about, not you, but the people telling me this have forgotten about this. But I'm not sure that matters. If we want to leave, we're going to leave. I hope it's peaceful. I really do. I don't know. If it's not, then it's not. And I think that's something that people are going to have to be ready for. But it's certainly an option, yeah. And I think it's becoming mainstream. I applaud the fact that Ben Shapiro, Rush Limbaugh, a rep from Texas, and the head of the Texas Republican National or State Committee, excuse me, are talking about it. That, to me, is just, it's unbelievable. I've been talking about it since the mid-90s. And so now, all of a sudden, hey, normal people use that word. It's pretty amazing. I love it.
Yeah, I know. Before we move on, I got to mention Zero's Wi-Fi is out. So I hope we get to see him again.
I do too.
But there's no telling. Yeah, I think like a really early red pill moment for me was learning about the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know where you're from, but I learned all about it in middle school. That's when we really dove deep into the Civil War as its own happening outside of other contexts. And when I learned that being in Louisiana, it there's a different connotation to it. Not necessarily pro, like Southern, but there's just like, this is your history. It's not just history, you know? And like, I still see Confederate flags everywhere, but
really, that's awesome.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
So I remember thinking at the time, well, secession being illegal seems stupid. Like it makes very little sense.
Yeah.
And this was the red pill. I remember thinking at the time, it doesn't hurt anybody.
Right.
So like, what's the big deal? And my teacher said, well, you'll get it when you're older, you know, just, which is the biggest cop out. But I mean,
you know what,
like
compared to schooling nowadays, that's nice that your teacher said that rather than like, well, no, here's why it's going to hurt you, you know, and make up some lefty bullshit. That's nice that the teacher said, yeah, you'll figure it out. It's like, oh yeah, I did figure it out. It's not going to hurt anyone. And maybe the teacher meant, well, a lot of people in the South died because of it, because of a tyrannical president of the North. But that's cool, man, because I promise you, a lot of school-age children in Texas that have learned about the quote-unquote Civil War don't have as even an open-minded version of it as you were taught. I mean, the fact that they're saying this is your history, I mean, it's, I hope at this point older people don't just go, yeah, it was all about slavery and the South was hated black people and they wanted slaves and Abraham Lincoln wanted to defend blacks. You know, I hope that there's a narrative a little bit more nuanced and educated than that. I suspect some places there's not, but I assume shit in public schooling here in Texas, there's still people teaching it that way.
Yeah. I don't know how much you've seen of my Twitter, but I'm not very serious on there at all. I think it's just a great platform to mess around. And I was workshopping this tweet. I can't do it now since we're going to talk about it, but I couldn't figure out a way to make it work. And I was going to say something along the lines of, and this is true, Abraham Lincoln, after the Civil War, wanted to deport the slaves to Africa.
That's right.
So actually, John Wilkes Booth was a progressive hero, and he killed the evil racist that is Abraham Lincoln.
I can't argue with that. I mean, I got the name of my podcast from something he said right before he shot Abraham Lincoln. So, you've got no arguments from me on that point. I don't want to call him a progressive by any means, but yeah. He was a hero in a lot of respects. Ooh, I'm going to get...
Yeah.
Once my new podcast takes off some, they're going to go, remember when he said that one thing?
Well, no, you can say like, hey, I was just
he killed a
complimenting
man that wanted to deport black people
exactly.
to Africa. That is the truth.
Exactly. So, to kind of go back to the conversation we had near the beginning. One thing, whenever I think of secession, I always think of one chief importance, and that is community. I think community is incredibly important, and that I've been listening to their survival podcast a lot lately, Jack Spierko, and he's does a lot of great work on that and highlighting its importance. And thinking about that party where we met made me think along those lines too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it's, I think people in our community, especially on Twitter, feel kind of isolated. Yes. And that's why they got onto Twitter.
Yep.
Or at least that's why I got onto Twitter.
Yeah.
But it's been a net benefit for me because, I mean, I met Stratton, I met Zero.
Mm-hmm.
I met you. Mm-hmm. I met just tons of great people. So why don't you just give me your thoughts on community and its importance?
Well, I think that's one of the things that has, I think the left has by design multiple decades ago started pushing out on purpose because like Robert Nesbitt wrote The Quest for Community. And I think that's part of the heart of the good right-wing movement, conservative movement, the ones that mean stuff and have principles, is community. Because when that goes away, when things like community, family, religion, when those get pushed out, that's filled by the state. And so the enemy, the you know, one thing you can do to fight a state that seems to never stop pushing forward against you is have community. And I think there's a guy named John Bush in Austin. I can't remember what he calls it, but it's something like freedom cells. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But I've heard of that. It's a cool idea because it's basically trying to organize very, very small sections. In fact, he does this, I think it's like up to 8 people is the most effective unit. And that's probably true. So in his thing is like, look, it's division of labor. It's stuff we all know if you're into Austrian economics. Who's good at XYZ? You've got a guy that's good at medical care, a guy that's good at growing food, a guy that's good at fighting, a guy that's good at, you know, guy, girl, et cetera. I think
you're cutting out a bit.
He, her, shim. So I think that part's extremely important. And you're right, that party felt that way because not only because of the lockdowns that we've been, you know, we're a little bit more privileged, I guess you could say, here in Texas. We're not locked down, quote unquote, as much as a lot of states. But when you go to a Mises event and then like the after party that we had, there's this feeling like I'm around normal people. Yeah. And they don't even have to think just like me down the line. There could have been debate on, who knows, abortion. There's borders. There's a lot of topics that libertarians and freedom-minded liberty folk debate. But it's always very open-minded. It's educated typically. And yeah, it's this feeling like, why can't I get more of this? And so I think that you would be surprised if you're listening out there listening to this. It's like we have a group where I used to live back in Austin, and I'm only 30 minutes outside of there now, that was started called the Austin ANCAP group after anarcho-capitalists. And so that was started by like 2 people. And I would venture to say there's maybe 40 of us now. And there's Trumpers, there's left libertarians, there's, of course, anarcho-capitalists. And of course there's debate within it. We've got this chat group that's now formed in like 5 different areas. But of course there's debate, but it's, for the most part, like-minded people that know you have their back, They have your back. And so if, and like I mentioned that John Bush, his Freedom Cell Network, I think things like that are important to do, because the more you can localize your group of people, not just to hang out with and meet up and exchange ideas and have, you know, guests come in and speak with you about whatever, but even survival stuff like the Freedom Cell Network. I'm because of my job, I know about medical care and medic type things. There's people that are gun nuts in our little circle. There's people that are outdoors, kind of woodsy type people. So sorry to again to go on a long rant, but the community thing, that is what the state hates. They would love to dissolve that. And I think that's part of the lockdown initiative. They would like you to be alone. And it's funny, this is always the lefty stereotype of libertarians. Oh, you just want to sit by yourself and do nothing and talk to no one. It's like, no, that's not it at all. We recognize that to get along in life, it takes division of labor. It takes a lot of people cooperating peacefully with one another. It doesn't take a state central person with a bullhorn screaming at us how to live life, and what to do. We don't need that part of it. That's what they don't want, is for us to figure that out. So the more community you have, even if, I mean, shit, you can have, you know, it's awesome, you know, in Austin, Texas, at some point you're going to invite some of the libertarians, might as well be hippies and people that grow weed and you know, you look at them and you're like, really? But it's division of labor, you know, peaceful interactions. And I think that kind of stuff is important. They don't have to agree with you down the line on every issue. But yeah, sorry to go on that long rant once again, but that's what I think about community.
No, that's great, man. I completely agree. Do you know about Childerberg?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I've interacted with those guys a few times on Twitter, and I missed it last time, and I cannot remember why. I guess the last one was probably canceled because of the lockdown stuff.
No.
Or did it happen?
That's where me and Zero met in person for the first time.
Okay. I apologize. I don't know why I could not make it, but
a lot of people couldn't come, you know. I mean, it's completely understandable. That was still fairly early in all the virus stuff, so.
Yeah, but
people didn't come.
It wasn't because of that. I've been like, I don't give a shit about this. But it must have been I had to work or I was out. I don't remember. But I'm disappointed I did not go. And the next whenever that happens again, I will be there.
Well, yeah, I never miss a chance to shill Childerberg a bit because it was just such a special thing. It was like, I described it to Stratton. It was like that after party that we had went to, except it was 3 days long, all day long. I mean, you're hanging out with these people from morning till dusk. And I mean, it's the best.
That is cool, man. That was such a fun time at that after party. And it was so spontaneous. And there was a punk rock aesthetic about it because, you know, I've been in music and everything, and the fun time was not just playing a show, it's the after party. And so I, you know, we're at the Mises thing, and I thought, I'm going to talk to Strat. I'm going to talk to so-and-so, and like, hey, you know, we just started, hey, come to this after party. And then all of a sudden, we're at this great lake house, all these people I get to meet, and it was just, it's just wonderful. And there's no hysteria. There's no authoritarian. Just the stuff that we all put up with when you're in our space and you're looking at the outward world, it's just nice to get away. And no one said anything about a mask. No one said anything about super spreader events. And it was just actual, like in these, like you guys and Strat, I'm talking to people that are so young and that know all of this stuff and this literature. And it's just mind-blowing. It's just wonderful. And I left that like, what a recharge that was. Absolutely. Wonderful. Yeah.
One thing that you're talking about community, and I was listening to a Jack Spearco episode the other day, and one thing that he said was that we don't need community right now, but when we do want it, we'll want to have those connections in place when it's actually necessary.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Because you can't wait till shit goes down and go, all right, who's my friend? You know?
Right.
Because they're not doing it. Like, that's the thing. And I apologize to just make sound binary and divide this into the left versus everyone else. But it is, in my opinion. And so the left, i.e. the state, same thing, they have planned stuff out so wonderfully long term. And it doesn't take a secret meeting of the Illuminati in a dark room. This is networked out. It's some people don't know what's going on. They're useful idiots. But they've done a wonderful job at planning long term, incrementally, and they're ready. So it makes no sense for people that like liberty and care about, like, I don't know, maybe living like we'd like to live without a hall monitor. It's incumbent upon us to start fighting back, not just physically or online and writing stuff on Twitter, but to go, you know what? I'm planning a community here. And if shit goes down, I know who I can count on and what I can count on them for. The division of labor, like I mentioned earlier. And so, you know, get out of the big cities, I would say. And I think it sounds like all three of us are out of one. Our internet might not be the best, but you have to know, what if something went crazy in a week from now? Who can I call? What can we do? And I think that, Liberty, you were gone for a second, but that Freedom Cell Network that John Bush promotes, I think things like that are important. So that's my spiel there.
Hell yeah. So before we wrap up, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody again where they can find you and any other plugs you got?
I guess the easiest thing that encompasses all of it is deathtotyrantspodcast.com. That's got the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Patreon, all of that stuff. And for the time being, that's where you can find me, deathtotyrantspodcast.com. The podcasts drop once a week. There's going to be a few bonus episodes coming up here this month because some things are changing in January, and some things will be different. It's going to be for the better. It's going to be awesome, even better than it is now. But until then, I want to squeeze a bunch of episodes out. And I got stuff coming out on COVID, the lockdowns, the stats, the media, the stuff the media screws up constantly. Well, they don't screw up. That sounds like a blue-pilled libertarian. They purposely mess up in order to scare people. So I've got stuff like that coming out. I got a guy coming on talking about living outside of the country, if that's something you'd like to do, and how to do that, and how to earn money, keep your money, that kind of thing. And so through December, it will be called the Death to Tyrants Podcast, and you can find that at deathtotyrantspodcast.com.
All right. Zero, you want to outro us?
Yeah. As always, I am Liberty Zero, reminding you to zero your rifle.
And I'm Cotton Arcus, reminding you to pick cotton voluntarily.